These was robbers, see, they'd grease their body up and be packing naked, well, they would be naked. And of course, they used to lay in one in each corner for an opening either side of you. And also at the sides, you've got four ways in, see. You had the old bungalow went right the way down, you could walk from one end to the other. And if you went through an opening, you had the other length of the bungalow, that went right the way down, you could see. There were four men in the bay, so to speak, one in that corner, one in this corner, one in that corner over there, one in that corner. The wall here prevented you to see what was going on around the next corner, see. The wall used to protrude, so you couldn't see the bloke round the corner. Well, you, so he could be robbed, or you could. Nobody could see. The only people who could see it was the people who was in your particular bay, like one in that corner, facing one another. And their gadget was to stand out, one bloke standing out, you and Batty was standing or other, if you woke up. So if you was awake, you never had much chance. So you just stay there until he just slept. Well, you said to take your bolt out of the night time, out your rifle, lock your rifle in the rack. Take your bolt out and sleep on it, see. So you'd have to disturb you, like only if you're Pallias. He was Pallias, he was coconut fibre, you know. And he said, you'd have to take it out every now and again, and you used to lump up, get always a brick, and you land a load of bricks. Take it out and bash it around with a stick, or a lathry as they call it, and belt, and then pick it. We still need to get some of the bags to do this, but some places you may have to do your own. Of course, you'd be laying there, and when you woke up, say, oh, your kit's gone. You ain't the only one. I have a lot of people still lose all their kit. Very, very seldom did they catch him. They caught one bloke with Cratchy, as I remember. The dogs had him up in the corner, and the police said he was Hatshaw, you know, Barmy. Well, I don't know whether it was Barmy. When he got in there, but at the time the boys had been swimming, he certainly was. See, one of the dogs had got in there, but the dogs had, well, they'd got him out in the corner, and usually they wouldn't bark at anything, so I don't know what caused it all, that they started barking and woke the boys up, and they see, they would let them go. But normally they used to get away, because they was in cohorts with, but the boys used to run the show, see. I mean, the boats come round. Tell you about this, I don't know what I told you, but the char waller come round, and the cake waller, and the pork wallers, and everybody was a waller, see. And they never used to get paid, same to Tonga wallers, I mean, they never used to get paid all the time. Same thing happened in the barracks, I mean, not everybody, you say, but there was quite a percentage that never used to pay. I mean, the Tonga waller, the char waller come round. And he was under contract, he used to get the stuff from Bosrali. And he used to work on commission, see, if he sold it all, he got so much commission. See, of course, he sold it all, but he didn't get the money. See, because their idea of you was that everybody in England, they never had any idea of England this particular time. See, they hadn't got over here then, like they got over here now, to see what goes on. Some got in 1948 war, some got over. Very, very few of us had to get back to India where it was warm, right? Got no time, but this lot over here freezing and a bit of rain all the time. But they come around and they used to sell all sorts of stuff, and char and wads. And they thought it was all millionaires. See, over here they got the idea, English components. The old saying is, you know, my brother said, you live. Liverpool's tied to London. You walk all your way from Glasgow to Lugger Hills every morning. See? Of course, that's their idea, this hockey, with one a bigger police stamp, according to them, or one big, but very big anyway. So, all the stamps, like such as us, we was raw jars. We only got a sign of shit, like, and money's falling out of the bank, and for our benefit. So of course he got a load of chits all the week, blokes actually said tea cakes on his strap all the week. Come Friday when they should pay, they never used to pay up, see. Well, they was on the missing list, he couldn't find them either. Of course that poor sod used to get the sack. And of course, because he hadn't got no money to pay him. Because I didn't have a fresh one on him, he gets served the same. Bloke said to me one day, saying, "Child, what a port was any of them?" He said, "You know this man, sir?" He said. So he said, "I've got a book here." He said, "Do you know this man?" And when I looked at the book, they had Jack the Ripper, Jack and the Beanstalk, Lobby Lad, Charlie's Aunt, this was the names they had down there. No? In the end, because he couldn't understand or read English, he'd understand, like, making English, he was making signs, waving your arms about, and, you know, pointing to this, that, and the other, he'd understand that, but he couldn't read English, so of course that's how they always get caught. That's the same. I remember one bloke, he said, he was doing a roaring trade. He ain't got no money, he got all on the chits. And when I went up to get my cup of slush, but normally they used to rush in a bungalow. As soon as the first note of Rivelli sounded, they wouldn't let them know they was outside on a brand new char. Well, very, very soft, because nobody let them wake you up before Rivelli, because being the boys herself. As soon as the bugle sounded Rivelli, so they'd bash in there and they'd be all over the bungalow with char and fingering bob and whatever. So I said, "Oh," he said, "oh, you've got a little bit book this week," he said. "We were roaring trade. We hadn't got the money. You got it on the chits." He said, "Oh, I only got a little book." He said, "This week." He said, "Next week," he said, "have a picket book." But he didn't have a picket book. He wasn't there next week because he's little book. They never even got five of little book. So he got nothing, just the same. But this was only one of the cameras they actually get up to. Of course, no wonder they wanted the education phrase and all the rest of it. Of course, they used to get their own back, like when people come out from England new, and they hired a Tonga, because it happened to me. That's when I first went out there, because being like the innocent sort of thing, well, you don't know anything, they give you a book over here about you're better than them out there, they're 1,000 times lower than you, all this gap. We had an Irish teacher taught us that, because we didn't know, it was sort of a bench as far as I'd go out it. Arabian Nights as far as I was concerned, you know, imagine. Of course, when I got out there, I wanted to go down to somewhere, go down to town, Lawa, got a Gary. So of course, you don't know the way, you've never been there. So they used to take you all round the bazaars, see all the native bazaars, see, well, then they stop in the middle of the bazaar, well, there's millions of them round here. It's only you, and they ask for the money. They've been caught so many times. This is what they used to do. Well, the people who they should have suffered, they didn't. And they got away with it. So they 3 years when they got in the barrack. So well, if they took you anywhere, they want the money. Now, there's millions of these mates all round. If you only said she'd pay too. Mm. You know, you wouldn't have no argument about it. No. You go on the railway station, I did when I was, we should sit on the, on a bridge when there was a road. The road went underneath us and the station was here to be right. They sit down and watch the brothels. We weren't supposed to let them go in there, but
you're talking about chickens.
Aye?
Talking about the
moment,
yeah, go on. Just go on, yeah.
And we should watch them know, but of course they're going in and it's totally bleeding nose. But also we can always find trouble. Those free bars cut and they used to go in these places, well, nobody's above me. But when I used to go in, some of the places was real clean, you know. I mean, I knew all the guys would go and sit down. And they used to be sitting on the floor playing some sort of instruments, watering them, you know. To do, all the women or girls were some, you know, quite remarkable, good looking girls as well, too. And I'd sit down and they'd say, well, a couple of unders. A couple of unders, a six unders. Dough unders, two eggs. See, dough means two. Egg is one. And I said, oh, I don't want to eat. I never would have anything to eat, but I'd always have a strawberry of milk. I said, it was clean enough in this place, but the places that they wasn't where I was, the farm was on. I didn't want anything at all, see. Mm. So it was, well, so it was quite adventurous. We got one or two scrapes going out. And the night, one night, I was at the fort, and I was a bit late. And I had a bike, got a bike bin, go round on me round, see the boys, and you had to come through a part of a jungle. We didn't have to, but it was a long way round, and to avoid that jungle, because we know there are wild animals in there. See, so anyway, I decided to go through the jungle. It was a bit of a path went through. I got halfway through, and as I got halfway through, there's a little pack of hyenas there. And I run into these, and there they was crossing the road in front of me and in the back of me. And it was all pitch dark except for my landing. And I'd be pumping my head with one hand on the bar, and I was ringing the bell, nodding and nooting, and going up the bleed lever down that path. And I was glad when I got to the end of it. I said, oh, you know, I really went like a wind. And they don't get back, they're going to crawl away, didn't they? I mean, they've got to be hungry to do this. And anyway, I finally got out of it. So I never saw no poor bikes going through that lot. And as we used to go home at night time, so, of course, I never went that way anymore. But mostly when they used to come home at night time, or night time in the middle of the morning, they used to sleep everywhere because they never paid any rent. They just had a string bed, what they called a child boy. They had four wooden uprights, you know, the same shape as a bed, and string or raffia or whatever it is they put across it. And they sleep on it, and all the dogs used to sleep round it. You know, all their, everywhere, all their, they had packs of dogs and all pie eyes, we used to call them. And sat across the railway line along as well. Of course, the boys used to pick up big bricks, and as they went through, they used to sling them at these dogs. And of course, the dogs was all cracking on the alarm, and the blokes was in there with all in the nooty. And there's some right old cavers as you get up there, no need to chuck a bricks in there, but that's what used to happen. I do know that, because I also catch a couple of them, really. And well, we've been stuck in there. The same pet as a chap bricks of bleeding dogs. So, some of you detest them, mate. I'll continue to wait about them. I've got them on mostly. I've got away with, I think, things that make me wave around. And the scissor board was all right on their post. I told you about the dog, didn't I, in Chipatties? I tell you about the dog. Well, I went to help with some pictures one night. I was going to go in here, and there's a great big donkey about between the donkey at the entrance. And they used to sit on the floor with their legs crossed in there, and a basket down there, a load of chipettes like pancakes. I stacked up like a stack of plates or saucers. And I don't know how much the natives used to pay for them, but I expect they'd get a dozen or more than that for an hour, a penny. And there's a great big donkey. And he was sniffing round, so he's looking at me, and I says, "Is he hungry?" And I turned with the look of him, I thought, poor such a dog, his ribs are sticking out. So I said to Chef Fatty, well, I said, "Give some of them. I'll give him manna, I've got a stack of them, you know." So I went to give the dog one, and the bloke said, "Want your arm off?" He said. So I said, "I won't give your arm off." I said, "Is that what? Come on," I said. He was a bit hesitant, the dog, see. Anyway, I said, "Come on," I said. "Oh, I mean, he'll stop here all day, can't he? You come on." So he came creeping up, and then all of a sudden he took it gentle. And he got in, walloped in, and I've got no one here. And I said, "That's it," I said. "Now, is he angry?" Anyway, I pulled some more all the bloke there. He was walking down at 1 o'clock, see. So I got to go and help him, stone pictures. So when I'm going inside the pictures, "No, you're all right." He was getting right away with his tail a bit. And I said, "Well, you can't come in here." So I'm going upstairs. I said to the camera, "Don't let him come in." And when I got outside, he's there. So I thought, well, I've got to patrol around in Arkley Bazaar, see? And of course, where all the natives had their shops and where they lived and where all the conglomeration of the rubbish and gamma fad and stuff. The dog followed me. And then he told me when he went to come here, he started growling at him. He was all up, he could pick it up and all. But to me, I said, "Come on, we've got to go down here." Well, the time I've been on patrol, I've got to go home. I've got to go into the barracks. I didn't take him in here because everybody had a dog. Even me, I had a little tiny dog. Well, it's more like a sheep dog, and he was a lot smaller. But it's the same sort of long black and white hair. Nearly, I called it, the bitch. And didn't take him home, not in the barracks. or contaminants. So I said, well, you can't come out. I said, every time I move down the road, say, follow me. So I turned around and said, no, go on. I said, you'll have to go down the park. I said, I'll see you tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, he's outside the pictures, the dog. He said, go round with me. You know, and of course, eventually, when we come away there, I'll leave him there. He's come patrol round with his dog. You know, I said, feed him out. And I've got one mine indoors. Well, the time in the container, it's a little one, nearly. I told you about she got underneath the door when I was in the hospital, didn't I? Right? Licking me face in the middle of the night. She got cut, she dug underneath the door. I got down to me. And the night when she made the hole in the mosquito in here, I was pleased as punch when you see this. Sitting up all the night, showing me mosquito in there, because if they didn't, they got underneath the ears, all right long, you know, where the mosquitoes was in. Not all, that's where you get the malaria, of course. You said, mosquito patrol, just go around sticking paraffin where it was on top of the water doing. Because it took them a long time to find out this their breeding ground was set in the water pools, right? And then, well, that was killing all the population of India. No two ways about it. That standing flying, one or two other flies there, was doing them a bad food. Yeah. And the rest of it, that was doing the best part of this. Even today, it's the same sort of thing. They haven't got no medical. Rig up same as we've got here. Not even today. And as for having census, don't you believe they ever have a census, because they haven't got enough money to employ people to go around and have a census among 600 million people, because the time he's got out the door, someone else has had a baby. So the time he gets to where he's going to go, headquarters and that, they've stuck about 10 million on the population. There's no two ways about it. They can't keep tabs on this lot. Ah, can you? First the Chinese and all 1,000 million, you imagine. That was census on them. Send them round a card and they're all gone. They've got about six, something else. Anyway, we've come there. From there, we've come down to, we used to go up the hills for a brief. I like, we used to go up to Delazy. And we went up to Darjeeling, which on the railway. But the lads used to be our station. We used to march up there, take a week to get up here. There's a go by train to Bethane Coat from Lawler, and then that march the rest. Well, it would take three engines to get you up this incline from the last place you used to leave. And you got to a place called Bethane Coat, which was near the Himalayas, or in the Kush in front of it. And of course, then you march around in winding roads. You've seen them on the pictures here, ain't you? Seen them on the telly, all the roads wind up. But it take a day. Rest camps all the way. I was Chucky and Dahl, Nine and Cuts and Sarah. I remember the best part of them. And you, when you got to these camps, there's little rivulets like coming down the mountains from the bigger nearest, and you know, the one next to Annapur and all the rest. That's where they start from here, where the Ganges and the Brahma Putra and the Uber and all the rest of them. The river start from there, and of course these places was little narrow ravines, like the water was like a cold, stack of boots all over, stick our feet in it. And of course they said, look out sections of the river for whatever in the army, I mean, they do things methodically. There's a lot of different systems of the river for what you want to do. And the first lot, according to which way the current was blowing, which way the current was running, see, so if it's running from, say, from right hand down left, the first place used to be drinking water, you know, all the pure water what you wanted to drink, because it was absolutely pure, there's no two ways about it, what you could drink it straight out of there. Next was for water for cooking and making tea and all the rest of it. Further down, be washing, you know, wash yourself and have a bath and all that. Further down to that, we had a place staked out for the animals, mules and it, never had no horses, not going up cuts. And then there'd be the mules and see, then further down there'd be the lavatories and all the rest of it. See, they all got it staked all out in some boards and all that for show. You need to rest camp. Well, the following day, you just get up and slug up the hill again. Well, I suppose for a rest, we did about a couple of months up at Delazy. And we were still, everywhere you went was uphill. I mean, which way you went to go was uphill, at Bannockburn. it was a further place up, and I took up the Benicet and sit on a rock, you know, up there, and you think you're on top of the world. It's not a sound. It's as silent as a grave up there. It's not a thing. You look right across the plains of India, and you see them galloping up and down with them lumps of wood, a cow pulled it along, you know, they have a lump of wood with a nail in, and they swallowed it, steady while a cow or a bullet, wherever they had there, pulled it along. You can see right across the plain, miles and miles, and what a sound up here, where it was. Of course, we had about 3 months up there, I suppose. A couple of Irish sergeants up there. One was Crawford, I forget the other bloke's name, but he was the one that copped it. They named it Collins, Michael Collins. Somebody shoved him, they said, he was drunk, his beer was. Somebody must have shoved him over the car, although they said it was an accident. As he come out of the beer shop where they used to go to sergeants. As he come out, he's still got to come down, and it's all the horse. I reckon someone pushed him over, he had a bit of an argument with someone, but they never did get the bomb of it. What happened, but it killed him. But so we lost him. When we come down from there, so I said we went to Hyderabad, had to stint down there. And one thing I would like to left out when I got to Hyderabad was I'd come in and done my usual stunt round, I was law school then, and the sergeant was a bloke named Gilbert. And then, well, about half past 3 in the morning, I suppose, I thought it was quiet, I'd better go home, no, no one about. The native shaking me, waking me up, he said, the sergeant said, come quick, come quick. I said, all right then, shake God's army, I'll come quick. So anyway, I got up and said to one of the blokes beside me, woke him up, and all of a sudden, Gilbert was me down the gate, I said to the sergeant, I said, you better come along with me. So out I've got, because I never knew what the trouble was. When I got down there, there was the sergeant was inside a gharry. Well, a gharry, a tonga was a two-wheeled thing. See, I might have it mixed up, but I think this is how it was. A tonga was a two-wheeled thing, like a trap, like a tip-up trap for a pony. And a gharry was a black four wheels, more like a coach if we had, you know. The sergeant Gilbert was inside the gharry, but the door was shut. There's four of our blokes there, or three quarters cuts, they're calling him all the bastards and all the names they could. And they weren't going to strangle him and what they weren't going to do to him. So of course, so I said, oh, what goes on? Oh, it'll be best English. No, you're talking the army. So they said, we're going to kill him. I said, oh yeah. I said, well, you can't kill anyone. I said, well, I'm round here. I said, I'll tell you what, I said, if you don't pack it, I said, you're going to get killed. So they said, we ain't got no... we don't want these W's, we don't want to, they call me Liz and Lies and all sorts of things, see? Skinny. Anyway, they said, well, you want to travel with me, or if you don't, I said, oh, I'm going to have trouble with you, I said, if you don't pack in. So, there's Gilbert inside the garage, the sergeant. He's pulling out, telling him, he said, they're quieting down, he said, I won't report it, I won't say anything about it. I'm going to get into the barracks and go to the quarters quietly, see? So I said, come, and I said, you heard what he said. They get on. So of course they some have got on, some pole on the top, and anyway, they got one. Me and Owen, I guess, called a bloke named Dick, and women. That way, when we got the guard on, they get started, brave the lion, there he is, he's got me and the old lady, he's got all the guard, he caught the guard and the sergeant inside. And all the sentries, the rest of the major guard, said to me, put these in the guard room, disturbed. So I said, what you said, no one about what you thought, he said, put them in the guard room. We ordered, see, they put me in a car. So that was sort of buying them out of the stars and the guard, and they put them in the cells. The next day they charged them, and they had a court martial. And all the charges, but they made enough up to get them up free. Oh, well, if I'd put my lot in, they got 6 months. But all I said was, when it came to me to report, I said, well, I was awakened by a native, I said, and told that the sergeant wanted to see me at the entrance to the barracks. And I went down and I said, and these men, I said, they got on and told them, I brought them in, and when I got in, I said, all right, a sergeant told me to put them in the guard room, which I did. I didn't tell him what they've been saying, what I've been calling him, and things like what I'm going to do. He said, oh, yeah. Of course, they believed him, but it would probably be going on and like, well, I want there. Yeah, they called him, and they're going to murder him, what they weren't going to do. It wasn't really a bad bloke, I suppose, in their fair with their playtime, their workers' playtime, when it's up on the town seat, because we had some bright customers. Just walk around with choppers down there. They did do one that ring, natives.
Yeah. What happened, sir?
Got 3 months in Quetta. And up at Quetta, when you take them up to Nick, you see, they won't let you in a minute before or a minute afterwards. You've got to be there. And when you open the door, you shoved along. You know, what cars them up there? And they got 3 months. And when he went in there, you see blokes with cannonballs, take them up planks and bowl them down and go and get them again. This is their idea of punishment, whatever punishment they used to have in here. I don't know. But they're pushing in me and all. Well, I thought, oh, I've got better shut up here. You know, I'm in the wrong place here to start our arguments. So I don't want to come in here. Anyway, 3 months, all the 3 months was up. They come down, they come up to me and said, never know if it broke them. They finished them. Kemp was one, Martin, and was another bloke. And they said, never no more for that for us. He said, I'd tell you, that's the sort of army it was. It was lean in lots and lots of ways. But if you ever got in this place where the military police called, like the real military police, not detachments from different regiments, but they was running it, and, well, they was the right sort of customers to run it and all. Faces like bruises, and frightened to look at them, some of these would. He said, never no more that for us. Of course, then from there, I had a bed. We went down back to the door, had a bit more there. You fancy me sitting in this magazine smoking. There's enough stuff in magazine in that magazine to blow up the town. And used to go inside an outer wall, and then inside the outer wall, there was a great big wall went round in the ring. And it went through that gate. When he got inside, was another great big shed. And you went in there and they locked you in. See? And you didn't have much about it. Just sat down and wait. You know, in case anybody tried to break in. It's not a break in of a magazine. Anyway, you always had a guard on there. And I just sit on the ammunition boxes, smoking. Well, as I tell you. But I mean, I was a bit careful with the stuff, I don't know where sparks went, but didn't get an idea. But anyway, of course, then the next thing I used to hear that you were all here and coming because you had a key in the lock, see? This was Lahore in the magazine. So, of course, we come out of there and then we started drumming up. Me and my mom, we thought we'd go down in town and buy and get steak, penny pound. The natives could get a cheaper net. And of course, they could kill it the same day, and it's at the same day, nothing same. We started drumming up like wherever was rallies there, to pay 3 or 4 annas for a supper. We used to be able to do them with tuppence. See, clean great lump of steak and a few chips and that we'd fry up. I'd get them down and with a lot of stuff, see, we'd get one of the natives and boys to get it. And oil stove we had. And then a bit of a pump up, and I should make it out of rain. Of course, was rallying them, got to hear about it, I suppose, or somebody shot this place. We had to stop it. We'd make a bleeding fortune out of this. It was what they called drumming up, doing all right, it wasn't all. And I was getting it wet, bringing a mug of cocoa for 8 minutes. You know. Yeah, doing all right. Oh, penny going out. I was going to get a cup of tea over there for Anna, but we wouldn't get a mug of cocoa with sugar and stuff, with chini sugar. Not what we put in it there, and I wanted a mug, you know, army mug. And, yeah, it was good. It was a fairly lenient life, it was one of the best times I ever had amongst that lot. Because, as I said, I used to gamble a lot, and, well, I mean, you know, you've got to have a car, but you've got to know how to plan when you get it. And you've got to have bluffers, well, you've got to take a chance. Like now, I'll pick out 3 horses, they're all about 101. If they win, it's a miracle. But you'd be surprised sometimes they do. But anyway, it's the same, but with cards, it's a bit more. You can play them yourself, see? I mean, many times I'm going that on the bare eight, the card. You see, and you know, you see them watching, and I said, keep your hands up, I said, and Watch how you plough. You know what I mean? They both went out of bleeding cars. They stopped all that, the oxygen's on to work out what I've got left. So if somebody goes forward, I'm asking Queen Jack 10. Well, asking Queen Jack and another one. Well, it's enough for about 54, that is. That's a net pain. A lot of people don't go, they go a steady one, like that bleeding finger we've got down off him. So, well, I said, go get 18 Queen and say an ace and a beer ain't or something like that, see? And watch how the cars go down. And I'll play me ace, see? And then they drop them down, trumps. And then I'd have a look down here, well, nobody could beat the Queen or lay neck, because I've got a bleeding king, but they wouldn't have known that, see? And then the next was, when I see that with Queen down, he used to draw the rest of the trumps. See, now I play the ace, see? And I suppose I thought, that's what he's got. He's got ace double, he's got another one of the same ace, see?
You're wasting the
tape. That's what, yeah, I said, he might have beaten God. And I play the ace, and then I come out with king of trumps, which I still had. See, now this puts him in a puzzle. See, bloke sits there with two aces. He's got one ace, I'm not the stuff in army, and one ain't no good. But when he's looking on the ground, he sees every car bar he's bleeding ace down here. And my eight. And he thinks to himself, well, he ain't saving eight. So he says, throws away the ace, what I could have done, so I've got an out. Hey? Norbert, I'm out of we went out to the Karachi. And, well, the Karachi, I said, I've got a job on the copper, it's just the same. Another sort of job. And, because when I was on duty, even if I do say so, there was just a man next to the bloke, I've told you about it, anyway. And, they all had one extra, and that man used to be sort of competitive stunt, you know. Competition just killing his man, used to get the stick. No, well, instead of doing the 24 hour guard, when you mount a guard at 9 o'clock in the morning, you stopped on the 204 all the way through the day and the night until the following morning when he's relieved. But if you had got the stick, all you did was went to the order room, got a few hours up at 12 o'clock the same day, and then they said, oh, well, that's it. Oh, and you went home, it's finished, then the rest of the day's your own, then the night. See, and it can't, there's a guard. Nobody could put you on anything, because you're supposed to be on guard, actually. But And you know, practically every time I'm out of the guard, I've got a stick. And they used to bet on who was going to get it, and but you like, I used to bet on it and all.
What was the honour? Just on turnout?
The cleanest man, the smartest man on the guard, yeah. That's why we look up there and see how clean I used to be. That's just the part of it, with no equipment. And as I say, fall out the Lewis Gunner, which was me. And one pace forward, one pace to turn to the left, march down, and turn to the left again, and one bomb, 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 back turn. And, you know, all the arms, stand here, stand east. All do all this performance, well, looked at you, see. But, as I say, I most probably get sick very, very soon, you know, and I'm used to it.
This you were a corporal still?
Yeah, that's before I was a corporal. I mean, I'm just pushing that bit in. Before I was a corporal. When I was a corporal, I remember the time that officers used to come and didn't even know what they were looking at. Didn't know one ever right from the other half of them. All they knew about was choke pegs and polo. The British Raj, that's how they run India, I might tell you. I mean, I see enough of them. They either playing cricket or having being around the gym corners, that's the local clubs, and you know, the meetings, and the officers used to go there, but they were at the other ranks, well, they wasn't welcome at all. The only time you was welcome was if they wanted the pallbearers at a funeral, and they sent them back for pallbearers, see. I remember when I went on, a Karachi, somebody died outside, something to do with the British, he was. Although apparently his wife was either Spanish or Portuguese, because I was a pallbearer, and when they get to the grave, we had our band on parade and all for this, so he must have been somebody very important, although well, he well didn't know. And anyway, going there, they played a Dead Martin Soul, or whatever the word criterion is, it another lot. And coming back, I'd say, are they going to keep them down on the farm and see them shuttle along the OIA? This is the van coming back from the funeral. When I was standing on the plank, oh, we load a coffin and the people come around, there was a lovely looking girl, looked like Italian or Portuguese. And most probably Portuguese, because as I say, she was standing the other side and she was grizzling away and well, I wasn't all that old, not even now. And I was a bit upset about it. Like it was just the place and what was taking place. But as I say, the band soon dies, you're up, you soon forget all about it. That's the idea of it. You know, show me the way to go home. All the rest, same if you've been out of the route mines, you know. Just get 1 foot in front of the other, all of a sudden the band would strike up. And some of the latest tunes from home show me the way to go home. By the talking picture of you, whatever it was they used to play. You know, get the miles in time, and you'd be surprised how it picks your legs up. When you get a band, you're sort of floating along on air, and you know where you're going, but you follow the bloke in front. That's all you've got to do to tell you. Follow the bloke in front. You'll get there in time. You know, you get about 15-20 mile slog before back on your back, and then you've got it. But you can do it, you're tough enough. You can do it. And then from Karachi, of course, the bust up started in China. This is 1927, something like that. And the people who got the longest to serve, I sent them here to stay. Us, I had about 2 years and something to do, something like that, a bit more than that. And I never had so long to do as they did. And me and a few more of us, so of course, we were supposed to be making our way home. Probably split the battalion in half, they did. They picked out the longest serving, come home. And the other part who hadn't been there, just come out there, so to speak, they went to China and stopped there. Shanghai. Because the international settlement, the French went there and all, a bit of a barney, about 1927, I think, of the date. And of course, we're supposed to be coming home. Next one we know about, we ain't going to do no coming home. We're going up a cartoon, so we get the port through there, not in the Red Sea, the port. And on the train, we get one of them things, takes about a week to get there. Shut up there in the box. Oh, blimey, was it? There ain't no station, it's just where the train stops. Some of the sheikhs and all the, whoever they might be, they just get all mild off in the desert, ain't a thing to be seen. Somebody meets him with a camel, you know, about 300 miles north or wherever it was, over the stars or something, or it meant like. But finally we got to Khartoum, and of course the engineer made a tea out of water thing with Bob, so they went along and they put out different water pumping stations, using water for the engine, and we got to Khartoum. They kept us this side, it was a little bit old, but that's where the Egyptian army used to be. Apparently they mutinied the Egyptian army, could have just been Anglo-Egyptian Sudan. And the Egyptian army mutinied. And of course, if we got stuck in it, because there were no windows, just slits up the top, and well, you didn't want any windows either, Tom got some of them sandstalls, or hubbubs, they used to call them. And no air in there. Oh, terrible, we used to sleep outside. Of a night when the breezes had come over the Sahara, well, it was, you know, it was to be nice and cool. Got one now, carry our beds out into the sand. See, there was very few braids down there either, so it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Had a bishop there, and had a civil population on the other side of the bridge, where they had the British barracks. Up to date, one with fans, next to Gordon's College. See, because as I told you, they used to lock that pitch, football pitch to different regiments, and we used to try and sort it out, play one another, and you know, we used to have a bit of a intertwining, so to speak. A lovely pitch and a bit of grass for about donkey's miles, I think, for thousands of miles, I reckon. But they had a bit outside our guard room. And it's a tennis, it was a Fort Knox, you know, so look after it. That's all it was, where we were, a little bit. And it used to be, it's a mile, the bridge was a mile, but of course, when you lead up the approach, do the journey, the other side it'd be easier, mile and a half. You had to walk, and I'd pull to football mess because you've got that lot of walk home. The hospital was right over that side. I remember I came back from football mess one day, And I had a terrific stomachache, you know, colic, something like that. And of course, I went into the hospital and told them, and they dosed me up with some jello they gave me. It was castor oil, whatever it was. Anyway, that relieved me and stuck me up in the corner. Cooled off, got rid of that. It was sort of I was born again, you know. I thought I'd come alive again. And it gave me terrific pain in the stomach. It's all I've done for almost. Never noticed it until I started to come home. Something I must have eaten, you know, done it. Anyway, I come over this side and so we used to go out in the cinema night time, sit there and watch the stars all night long. See, because there's no twilight, it's dark and light. And the same thing is it's light and it's dark. Just like that, it cuts off, no twilight at all. On the other side, there's a load of creatures live over there. There's a bit of a township of Greeks on the other side of the bridge of Khartoum, and a little far up was on them, and the ivory market. We used to go there once or twice. I bought a lot of ivory and give it away. So over that particular side was a regiment of the Queen's. Now I told you this, and I was going over there one day playing football.
Over what side?
Eh?
Over what side?
And on the other side of the bridge, we're to Gordon's College, because we was this guy in the old Egyptian barracks, see?
Yeah.
And do you know what the break off is? Digress of this. I think this was in 1927, the latter half. They still had a prison inside of us. They used to come through our barracks, or the road through the dirt track, it was seen. They used to bring the prisoners through there, and they had chains and cannonballs on their legs and on their arm fettered up. Now, this is supposed to be a civilised country who was responsible for this click. And I don't know what were they committing, murder, whatever they've done, but they don't do it to them here, do they? And the prison was about three quarters of a mile past us up the road. And they brought him down a great big bowl. Now, you can look down and see him working. Simon, you know, it's a big boring man, built him, believe it or not, it wasn't more. But when he's brought up with cannonball in there, great big chain around
his legs. What nationality were they?
They were the Sudanese, isn't it? You know, they called doing something, rather. But the men responsible for running the show was the British. It was part of their bleeding empire. Well, they were in with the Egyptians, actually, especially with co-governors, see? But anyway, to get back to going over the bridge. As I was going over the bridge, blood coming towards me. And I thought, I don't know, I've seen that bloke before, I recognised him. And he got a bit further on, and we both stopped practicing at the same time, and I said to him, Miller? And he said, yeah, he said, Turkey Rhubarb. He used to call me Turkey Rhubarb when I was in Abbey Lane. He used to go to school with this bloke in Abbey Lane. Now this is 20 years afterwards. His name was Miller. Half a mile across the road used to live in Mary's mother's house, you know, down in Western Street. His brother, half a mile, used to live in there. I knew him and all. He came out of Abbey Lane. And his elder brother was the one I spotted there, Dusty Miller, they used to call him. Now, you imagine that, a cartoon, you find a bloke you went to school with. Mm-hmm. You know, 20 years afterwards, this is maybe a bit more than that. Of course, there was only kids when I lived in Abbey Lane, when I went to school down there. Because I was on my way over there to play a football match. We played a band, the Queens. They had a centre forward there, the bandmaster. And talk about some of the footballers over here. He could show him a thing or two. I never seen a bloke take penalties like him. There was no the goal's got no chance, and the goalies could move then, they can't move now, you know, they're supposed to stop until the ball is kicked. But the goalies could move then, but the goalie used to go one way in anticipation, the ball went the other side, because he got this neck, you know, he changed feet like lightning as he got on top of that ball, you know, as he shaped up to hit it one way, and the goalie gone, so he changed feet and hit it the other way. And a very fine footballer he was. I thought, well, I think it's clever enough, and I wasn't bad either. But in a different class of me, it was more like the so-called Hungarian masters. as they call him now. A terrific player he was, Band of the Queens. Well, our company officer, Ratcliffe his name was, and apparently he'd come into the army, but he'd been commissioner for the Sudan or something, and his guts ticked, and the natives did. Well, he took a bet on with one of the companies of the Queens. Look, I can't really beat him. I was playing centre half then, because I used to play forward, get bags of goals. No doubt about it. I used to. We had an old school, man. We had a good team. And but I've got so many boots, especially this year, it slowed me down, got my ankles and knees, and by the side of my ass knees, we'll get booted around. It lost my speed, see, so I'll finish up now playing halfback, centre half. And we lost 1-0. But they said to me, oh, well, they say you played like a pro on there, and the score would have been more than that for me. But I said, they're my blokes. You know, when I played, I mean, if there's a slack up, I mean, if I'm running about, so they're going to be running about. So, well, if you don't want to play, you know, you don't want to play, if I pick you for the team, then I'll pick a team. And play the team, you don't want to play, well, then you ain't going to play again. See? I don't mind, they throw after them. They don't do anything at all. As long as I know they're trying. But when I say they're not even trying, they're nice and neat. But, of course, from there, the round comes to general. So, of course, I goes out and they gets me. I ain't taking my turn. And so, well, we want to put the ones you've gone goldy, sir. So I said, all right. I said, I don't mind. And we got the general coming round. I said, we're going to give him up a bit. So, of course, I got a bleeding job with him, the general. Going, go, well, I wasn't frightened of them generals. As soon as I joined the army, I was in trouble. When the officer came round, he said, any complaints? I said, yes, sir. So he said, well, what's the trouble? I said, the food, I said. He said, you can't eat it. So he said, he tasted a bit. He said, well, he said, it seems all right to me. I said, well, maybe it is. I said, of course, you'll come round.